Welcome to the Love in Action Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, executive coach, speaker, and author, Marcel Schwantes. I believe that when we show up with our full humanity to work and lead from a place of love and care and inclusion, it will make a radical difference in your leadership, your business, and your bottom line. This is a show about love as a leadership and business strategy. Let's do this.
Welcome back. Yes, I have returned from my five-month hiatus. And if you're a new listener, I was on hiatus for a good reason. I needed to focus on my manuscript, which will be my book release sometime in the winter. So I had to put the podcast on hold because writing a book, the way that I'm writing, which is fully research-backed, is a lot of work. So I'm glad that I'm back. This is the relaunch of the Love in Action podcast. Thank you so much for my faithful listeners for your patience as I worked through this process of book writing. I'm so stoked to be back because, well, our relaunch, this episode is going to be special. Now, many of you know that my often co-host, Rob Holman, jumps in here and we have a great time bantering back and forth. Sparks fly. Rob and I, whatever the topic is, you know it's going to be a compelling conversation anytime he joins me on the podcast. So this is going to be a little different. I was invited by Rob to guest host an episode on his podcast, the Inside Out Leadership Podcast. If you haven't heard it yet, please go jump on it. The Inside Out Leadership Podcast with Rob Holman. So Rob was gracious enough to invite me to come and interview him for his book launch. And I'll talk about the book in a minute here. And so I, of course, accepted. And we had a great conversation about the book, about Rob's experiences. And then that got me thinking after we ended it. Now, Rob has been scheduled. He's been booked in advance to come on the Love in Action podcast so that I could interview him here. But after the conversation that we had, I'm like, no, there's no way we're going to wait another month to have Rob come here. The reason I say that is because we had such a, I don't even know what the word is, but the conversation was so authentic and Rob spoke from such raw honesty about his experiences that led to his book that it would be hard to recreate that. We could try to recreate it and I could try to ask the same questions, but you know what? No, it would not have been as real as the experience that I felt it was. So what I decided to do, and I asked Rob, hey, you know what? Let's just feature this conversation on your podcast and bring it to the Love in Action podcast and really bless our listeners with it. So what you're going to get today is my interview on Rob's podcast where I feature him and talk about his new book. So speaking of his new book, let me set it up like this. The age-old wisdom that, you know, it is better to give than to receive has shaped a lot of our lives and our thinking. If you were raised in church circles, you know, we're kind of taught that it's better to give than to receive, right? But what if this is only half the story? Because Rob Holman, in his new book, he raises a thought-provoking question. If everyone were giving, who would be left to receive? So he brings research into the story of giving and receiving to share that receiving a gift and receiving a gift openly, right, with open hearts and minds, triggers the release of happiness-inducing hormones like dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin, which really echoes the chemical reactions associated with love. So if you're a leader, this really is a proven recipe for cultivating and nurturing trust with your teams and organizations. So given these benefits, I mean, why wouldn't we want to learn how to improve at receiving. So Rob decided to write a book based on his experiences of receiving, where he brings in the character, a real-life character, which was his basketball coach growing up as a kid. And so it's in the title. His book is called Lessons from Abdul, The Hidden Power of Receiving from Anyone, Anytime. And Rob, in his book, he sheds light on the often overlooked importance of being a receptive leader. It's pretty fascinating stuff. So I couldn't wait. And like I said, Rob shares from the heart, and it would be difficult to replicate that kind of authenticity on the show. So we're going to feature that conversation of me interviewing him on the podcast, on his podcast, here right now. So without further ado, and by the way, as a side note, I also interviewed Rob for my Inc. column. So you're going to get a bonus article. If you go to my show notes, you will see a link to Rob's article published on my Inc.com column. So without further ado, let's bring in Rob Holman. Here we go. Hey, well, welcome to the Inside Out Leadership Podcast. In case you're wondering, wow, did Rob's voice change? It didn't. I'm Marcel Schwantes, and today I'm going to be your guest host on the Inside Leadership Podcast, and there's a big reason for that. We'll explain why that is, but guess who my guest is today? None other than Rob Holman. Say hello to Rob.
Marcel, you're awesome. I'll tell you, if I'm flipping the seats on people and have someone be the host of my podcast, there would be no other person than Marcel doing just that. So it's a special treat for me, and I know the audience is going to have a very special treat in you hosting. And there's got to be a special reason why we're doing this at the same time, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a reason for that. And the big reason is because you are about to release your next book, which is called Lessons from Abdul. We're recording this on Good Friday. The book is going to be released on Easter Monday, the day after Easter. And you want to share a little bit about that, Rob?
Well, I can't believe it. It is talking about a passion project, Marcel. I mean, it just worked out to where we're recording on Good Friday. You and I are faith-based individuals, people. Our faith anchors us. Of course, our belief in Jesus is a source of life for us in everything that we do. And some of you might be listening to this being like, yeah, I know that, Rob, and it inspires me. And some of you might be listening and be like, you know what? Like, I'm hearing this for the first time. It's not what I believe. That's okay too. There's a seat for everyone, but it gives you an opportunity by me being explicit with that at the same time to let you into my life, let you into Marcel's life and our friendship together. So excited that the book's going to be released in just a couple of days. And it's been 3 years in the making, Marcel, this Lessons from Abdul, The Hidden Power of Receiving from Anyone, Anytime. So yeah, let the conversation begin, I guess, because I'm sure people have a lot of questions just with even the title and the subtitle there.
Of course. And if you haven't caught on yet, I'm going to be asking Rob questions. So in other words, I'm going to be interviewing Rob on his show. And Rob, by the way, I just wanted to say that this is such a brilliant swapping idea that I'm going to bring you on my podcast to interview me when my book is released sometime in the winter. So I'm just giving you an FYI in advance.
Good. Oh, I'm already there. Trust me. In my heart, my mind, I'm already there. We're going to have a lot of fun. Build off of this fun for sure.
All right. So here's what I was thinking. The title is obviously, boom, right there in your face, right? Lessons from Abdul. And the word Abdul, it's like it triggers the curiosity of, well, first of all, who is Abdul? You know, it's not lessons from George, lessons from Mike down the street, right? Because Abdul implies... Yeah, it's a little bit of a foreign concept when you know you throw a word like Abdul, right? So we want to break all stereotypes down and deconstruct any kind of false beliefs about, you know, people's names and identities and ethnicities or religion. So having said that, who's Abdul?
So I got to take you back. Now, Marcel, some might be scared. I'm taking you all the way back to when I was 10 years old. All right, now hold on. Some of you know, I come from a basketball family. A lot of hoops in my family. We are watching the NCAA tournament, both men and women's. My brackets aren't doing so well right now, but that's a story of another day. But I take you back when I'm 10 years old, playing in the local YMCA basketball league. And I'm getting ready, like any 10-year-old, I get to my game a little early. And I'm glancing through the front doors of the gym, and we're not allowed in. And there's a game being played before my game. And even through the doors, we're kind of peeking through a little bit. And I can hear this really loud, booming voice. I mean, louder voice than what I have. And the voice, it sounds very different. Loud, but very different. Didn't sound like my voice or any other loud voices I've ever heard before. Well, so my intrigue, my curiosity was building with every moment. The game comes to an end, the game before my game, right? We work ourselves into the gym. And I'm like looking for where was this voice coming from? And even after the game, the person was yelling and screaming in not a bad way, a good way, you know, and just so much passion, so much enthusiasm, everything. Well, finally, I found the source. And the source was this coach. It was a coach of one of the teams before my game. And this individual looked and sounded very different than me. It happened to be a middle-aged man, like in his 40s, African-American, I'm white. He wore old, kind of grungy clothes. I like to say, as a 10-year-old, I like to be with it and wear the up-and-coming, you know, clothes of the day. And I, even after my game, I inquired about this guy. Who is this guy that looks so different than me but seems so passionate about the game that I love? And as I inquired, I talked to different people. They said, oh, you're talking about Abdul. You've never heard about Abdul? You've never? I was, no. So my curiosity continued to grow. And I'm finding out that he, again, African-American, he was from the working class, poor, and he would love the game of basketball, love youth sports, used to help people. He was Muslim. I was Christian. We didn't have a whole lot of similarities, Marcel. We just didn't. But he intrigued me enough with his dedication, his passion, his love for the game of basketball, enough for me to pursue him and to start sparking a conversation that would then lead to me being on his team for a length of time. And here I was as a 10-year-old entering into that space, and here he was as like a 40-year-old entering into that space, didn't look like each other, didn't sound like each other, didn't have the same anything other than basketball. And the game of basketball brought us together. And throughout a course of a handful of years, he would begin slowly but surely instilling values in me that would literally change my life.
Yeah, I want to get into those values that really manifested into lessons, life lessons for you. There's so many lessons. But I want to bring back to sort of an overarching theme of the book. So if you were to say this is the message that I want to convey to the world based on Abdul's lessons, what would that lesson be? What would that main overarching message be?
Some of us might have heard this story before. So if you have, hang tight, because I think it's very timely. I'm gonna let it resurface. Some of you have never heard this before. There was a man that was in a flood, okay? And the water was just pouring in, and it was survival mode. He didn't know if he was going to make it. So he cries out to God and said, oh God, would you please save me from this flood, Marcel? He cries out to God, save me, save me. Well, shortly after he prayed, a person comes, you know, past his house. You know, he's up on the upper floors of his house now, you know, the roof, dare I say roof. And cause the water's coming in great force and great, you know, volume. And a man in the canoe says, hey, come aboard, and gotta come. Come on. He goes, no, 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 no. God's got me on this. I already prayed. God's got me. He's gonna get me taken care of, right? So, okay. So the flood, the waters are now increasing in force and volume and everything, right? And now a boat comes along, and in the boat, there's a number of different people saying, you gotta hop aboard. This is your time is now. Your time is now. You're gonna die unless you hop aboard. He goes, no, pray to God. God's got me. Don't worry, I'll be fine. And then short time after that, a helicopter comes. And you're getting wind blowing with the helicopter, you know, and everything. Come on, man, you got to come. Come now. You're going to go under. Your life, you know, your life's at stake. You got to come. And he said, no, he waves him off. No, I'm okay. I'll be fine. God's got me. He's got me taken care of. Waved him off. Tragically, the man dies in the flood. He's brought to heaven before God. And he said, well, why didn't you save me? And God said, well, I tried to. Through the man in the canoe, the boat that came through, and the helicopter. But by me giving you these things to save your life, you rejected, you rejected, you rejected. That was never my intention. I wanted you to receive. And you never did. Marcel, the book, Lessons from Abdul, has everything to do with bringing a needed and timely balance to the receiving and the giving. But I highlight in the book the importance and the power, the hidden power of receiving from anyone at any time. Just like the 10-year-old, receiving from anyone, in my case, as a young boy, from Abdul. But do you notice I don't say from everyone, everywhere? There's a difference. We are the gatekeepers of our own heart. We can receive from anyone at any time, meaning that do we remain learners when people look, sound, they have a different level of education than we do, you know, we're higher up than they are, et cetera, et cetera. Do we remain and have a posture of a student's heart, a learner's heart, a highly receptive heart? Or do we dig our heels in and say, no, I got this. I got the answers. I don't really need help. I don't really need any praises or compliments or encouragement. I don't really need any support. I got this. I can do this. See, the lessons that Abdul shared for me throughout the course of years, they built foundations and built new foundations on foundations that have really led me to be the person, the human being, the leader that I am today. And I'm so grateful for him in the midst of that. So this book has everything to do with learning how to be a better receiver, because at the end of the day, we can only give to others what we have received.
Mm. You know, that's interesting. If I'm hearing a message about you have to be able to receive outside of the context of you just explained it in those terms, that it's authentic receiving, right? Because like you said, once you are able to receive that openly and with that much gratitude, then you pay it forward by giving to others as well, so they can receive. But for people that didn't hear that part and they're just hearing the message about, oh, hey, you got to be able to receive, I'm thinking people will take advantage of that. Yeah. They might say, oh, heck yeah, I want to be able to receive more, right? So now they're thinking it for their own selfish gain. They're thinking it as a mode of taking, which can lead to all kinds of other manipulative things. So how do we stop ourselves from maybe not going down that path?
Yeah, I think number one, it's like many great things in life, right? We have to have a level of awareness. We're not talking about taking. We're talking about, in the most genuine, pure, authentic sense, learning how to receive. And I think if we learn how to do that, now that begs some other questions. However, if we could become aware of what we're talking about, this genuine, authentic receiving, reception, etc., at the end of the day, when we learn how to do it, some of the barriers behind us doing that, learning how to do it, we actually learn that it's it taps into the childlike space in each one of us. Like there's nothing in this very deep, authentic place. There's nothing that we've done to kind of earn these things. I think you and I would both agree, Marcel, the greatest gifts in life are things that we've never, in a sense, quote unquote, earned. I'm not saying there's some things we have earned and there's fruit that comes from, et cetera, et cetera. But some of the greatest, most powerful, most authentic things in life don't have to do as much with earning. They have to do with opening up a gift that's been given to us. And that's what receiving in the most real sense provides for us. So I think that level of awareness will help us moving forward. That again, we're not talking about taking, manipulating for greater gain or influence or whatever. We're talking about the beauty and the power of genuine receiving.
Mm. I used to struggle with genuinely receiving myself, Rob, because this is just me, but for everyone else listening out there, tell me if this hits you right between the eyes, because a lot of times we think that we are so self-sufficient and we are doing great financially, and yet someone offers a gift, somebody offers a favor, somebody just is wants to bless you, and you deny that opportunity for that person to bless you because you think, well, no, I'm okay. No, I'm good, right? I'm comfortable. And so to me, I discovered that comes from pride. And pride was sort of the block that kept me from being able to receive genuinely from people that wanted to bless me.
Yeah, that's a really good word, because I think it speaks to, we all have default mechanisms.
Yeah.
We receive a praise from someone. Now, I know we do it, a lot of leaders listening, you do it with wonderful heart. I'm not saying you don't do it with not good hearts, but even like you receive a praise for your leadership, how quickly we turn and say, well, it was really my team. So, and I think somewhat admirable in doing so, right? But if we're really honest, are we also deflecting, not allowing enough space and time to let that word of encouragement that's just meant for you to sink in? So I bring that up to say, Marcel, I think we've got to even realize and become aware of our default mechanisms, the words and the phrases that when someone says, do you need help? Because I think this might be helpful for people. I think it falls into three buckets like this receiving. One is help or support. Another could be opinions or unique perspectives. And then the third would be praises or compliments. Now think about those three. Listening, I think some could be listening and be like, all right, well, I'm pretty good with receiving, you know, help, but I'm not so good at like unique or different perspectives. Like I like to align myself with people that are going to validate my own opinions and thoughts. And once in a while, I might step outside to kind of like gain a different thought or opinion, but I like to stay clear of that.
Yeah.
That's true in many different spheres of society, politics, entertainment, sports, et cetera. But what would it look like if we, again, you're hearing this word again, become aware of the phrases and the words that we use to deflect genuine receiving? But it also is helpful to know what buckets do they fall in. One, you know, any one of those three. You know,
yeah.
Help, support, unique opinions and perspectives. And then, of course, compliments and praises. And I found that those are three big buckets in our life, Marcel. And if we're honest, we all do deflect far more than we would even realize.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have no problems receiving compliments or praises, because one of my primary love languages, if you read the book, is words of affirmation.
Yes.
So yes, I want people to, you know, build me up. And and the one that's probably a struggle for a lot of leaders is being able to genuinely receive feedback, because in doing so, it's going to help you to improve and get better as a leader. And of course, I'm thinking on the other end, the giving of feedback has to be genuine as well, right? It's not, you're not trying to tear down the person that you're giving the feedback to.
That's
it's for that person's benefit. And so in giving of feedback, it has to be genuine, and it has to be like, okay, how do I approach this person? Because this might be really hard feedback for somebody to hear. And so I wanted to do it in a gentle and constructive way so that their ears open up and their hearts open up to receive that kind of feedback.
Or so when we talk about feedback, I love that you went there for a moment.
Mm.
I think leaders, we have the unique opportunity, dare I say invitation, with our team members to continue to build them up as human beings. See, this is where like building up. So we have to give constructive feedback about maybe the work that they did.
Yeah.
You know, in a sense, they can separate when they've been built up as a human being, that what they do doesn't define who they are. And leaders, we have the unique opportunity to build up people, to speak truth and love and encouragement and based on who they are and their personalities, their temperament, their gifts, their strengths, all these different things. It shouldn't be like a yearly check-in. I mean, this should be an every, very consistent, committed to do that. And when a team member feels built up as a human being, when it comes time to give some constructive criticism, constructive feedback, they can much easier separate themselves from the work that they did. The challenge is that many leaders, we put it all in one big pot and we allow, you know, and then team members allow their the constructive feedback to feed into who they are. And then they're confused. And then they feel like they're down in the dumps after their leader or their manager gives them two constructive things to work on for greater improvement, because it's like a big melting pot. But again, I'm going to point to what helps us become better receivers. Mm. And it starts with the leader first. Are you, am I, Marcel, learning how to receive the encouragement, the help, the support, the unique opinions, enough towards building us up as human beings? And when we're built up as human beings and we're nurtured and we feel cared for, we feel valued out of this very inside place, now we're built up enough to receive more healthy, even constructive things that come.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find when people don't as much and they're down in the dumps, they haven't received good things as much and as authentically as they should.
So since this is such a personal story for you about Abdul, let's bring him back into the conversation real quick here, okay? Because I know that you had to learn to be able to receive at that level. How did Abdul teach you to do that?
Yeah. Well, Abdul was, he loved diversity in the holistic sense.
Yeah. Okay?
So he loved bringing together and making up his team of people that were very different. So if Abdul and I were any indication of the makeup of this team already, imagine setting foot into his first couple practices.
Right.
I mean, you had different ethnicities. You had Hispanic, African-American, white, Asian, like boys and girls, all around the same age. We all had a love for the game of basketball. But he was really good, and that's an understatement, really good with just intentionally bringing together different people. And he had a unique culture, Marcel. Not only were we all so different, how we looked and how we sounded and where we came from and all these different things. But I think one of the chapters, even the book, is culture is a catalyst for revolution, right? Like there's this whole thing of like culture, like being culture catalyst. And Abdul was a culture catalyst, one of the lessons in the book. He would give us unique names as he got to know us. So he wouldn't call us by our first name. He'd come up with a name that was fitting for who we were on that team. So my name in time, it didn't happen right away, but in time as he got to know me, I got to know him and this diversity all around the team. He called me Greyhound because Marcel, I mean, I was tall, I was thin, I was quick, you know, and everything. So he was viewing like this dog in a sense, a good way, this dog that was thin, but fast, quick. So he wouldn't even call me. Now, some people were like, well, hold on. How's that honoring? He's not even calling you by your first name, but see, he was playful.
Mm.
Abdul was building a culture of fun, enthusiasm, and passion. And before long, it wasn't just me, Greyhound. He'd have other names for other kids. And then Abdul would say, hey, Greyhound, over here, over here. And he'd look over here and say, you know, hey, Cinderella, you're over here. And next thing you know it, it's like we are caught up in this space, in this world of a lot of differences, but yet we start to speak common language. We knew that there was something deeper and greater behind the names he gave us. It was more significant. So what did the players start to do? We started to reflect what Abdul was doing. We started to call each other the name that Abdul was calling. And so he would build us up with these like superhero kind of names. And really what he was doing, Marcel, I'm getting goosebumps. Really what he was doing, he was saying to each person and team collectively, the sum is greater than the parts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you're all now swimming in this place, this culture. You're all now saying the names. And in that brought us closer together. So there truly was, in time, unity in diversity. But he cultivated that soil really, really well.
Woo. Yeah, I got goosebumps too, listening to that story, Rob. Just the way that he was able to build diversity. And I'm thinking, yeah, if he gave me a nickname and I was able to accept that nickname because it became meaningful to me, if he didn't call me by Greyhound, I would probably be mad. Like, wait a minute. No, I'm not Rob. I'm Greyhound.
And Marcel, like, one of the things I think within that culture, and this is another chapter in the book, and I know you'll so appreciate this because you do phenomenal teaching with leaders all around the world in this area too. And I call it embracing your inner North Star. Mm. And Abdul he knew that we needed to better understand who we were as unique individuals at the same time. Okay. So he'd take the time one-on-one to really get to know us. He took the time to take us aside from practice, not just with feedback, but getting to know who we were. He took the time when invited, like my parents invited him over for a number of meals and over meal. And notice how I'm slowing down. I'm emphasizing meals. We got to hear his story. He got to hear our story. And taking the time outside of basketball to truly get to know each other over a meal. He was really helping us. And I think we might have been helping him a little bit in that, really embracing our unique identity anchored in values.
Yeah.
But we did that through the exchange of story. I mean, you and I know enough. We swim enough in this space to know there's study upon study that just shows that when you share stories, not just professional stories, when you share personal stories, you're committed to do so on an ongoing basis with your team members. So much magic comes in and out of that place. Trust is built and fostered in a very short period of time. You kind of have that feeling in that sense. You climb in the mountain together, regardless of the differences, regardless of different things. You're brought together by a common goal, but you're anchored in values, not just organizational values, not just team values in our case on the basketball team, but you understand that you are your own unique person with your own unique set of personal core values. And the cool thing about Abdul, he wouldn't say it the way I'm saying it now, but in his own way he would, because he'd demonstrate things, he'd say certain things. But see, when you understand your unique personal core values, it should actually help liberate you to spend more time with people that are different to learn from them, not the other way around. Not to just dig your heels in to say, well, I'm more right and I just need to hang out with people that are going to validate my own opinions and thoughts. No, I actually firmly believe, coming off the lessons from Abdul, that when you know who you are and you're truly anchored in your purpose and in your core values, it should liberate you to have a meal and share stories, have that human-to-human exchange with a team member or team members, plural, to where you're not threatened by it. You're just not threatened by them. You know who you are. You know the deep convictions of your own heart, but that's not so you can dig your heels in as much. It should liberate you to learn from other people. And when there's that learner exchange, see, this is what Abdul is fabulous at. He created an environment, created an atmosphere. He was building a culture based on personal core values. And when there's that exchange of story and truly getting to know each other, you actually, in time, better appreciate each other. And that feeds in the culture, which we just talked about a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's get practical and speak to the leader sort of in the trenches or even in up in the ivory tower, if you will. Because I mentioned already, and you have examples in your book, that there are roadblocks in the way of us being able to genuinely receive, right? So let's establish those roadblocks first. And you gave us some hints, right? Being threatened by information or feedback, and there's a lot of ego there. And so I want to ask then, what are those primary roadblocks that keeps us from receiving?
Yeah. Yeah, I am going to, like, just very briefly, I'll go through all seven mentioned in chapter one of the book.
Sure.
And really the power in talking about them is it creates a greater level of awareness, right? If we know that we could have hindrances or barriers, obstacles holding us back, that's a good start, Marcel. It's a good start. It's a whole other thing to start going down that road. And we need bravery. We need courage. We need the help of others and accountability to start entering into that space. But I think, so I'm going to list out, and I might just highlight a couple if that's cool.
Sure, that's fine. And I was going to say, these are, it may be blind spots then that we're not even aware of, and hence why we need to raise our self-awareness.
That's right. All right. So the first is hurt can hold us back. Okay. And again, I'll do a deeper, slight deeper dive in a couple of these after I list them out. So hurt can hold us back. Second, the path of least resistance. Third, letting go of control. Yes, I said that word, Marcel, control. I think it should be in big capital letters. I know no leader, you or I or anyone else, any other leaders ever dealt with that in our entire life. Number four, fear of conditions placed on giving. Number five, moral guidelines or faith-based principles. Number six, unveiling the noble mask. And seventh and final, the paradox of closeness. Now, I want to, that last one for a moment, I want to unpack that. This is a biggie. You could be listening and you have team members you've been working with and serving for years. Okay? So I'm not talking about the new team member right now, the ones that you've been working very closely with.
Right. And
even outside of your team, could have a spouse or a partner that you've been married to for years, a neighbor you've known for years. Now I'm talking to you. What happens is we become so familiar with that team member that their idiosyncrasies, their little quirks, their little things. And don't we know that sometimes they are the most difficult person to receive from? They could be a faithful friend, spouse, or team member. There could be a depth and level of trust based on years of friendship. But isn't it amazing how even sometimes the closest people to us on the planet can be the most difficult people in the most genuine, authentic sense to receive from? A difference of opinion, where there's tension in the air. Hold on, I can't receive from you. I can't. I'm struggling right now. Tension's filling the air. See, I know I'm speaking some people's language right now. I call that the paradox of closeness. The closer we are to people, we would think it would be different, like completely different, like they'd be the easiest ones. But what can happen, certainly, not in all cases, but in a majority of cases can happen unless we're very intentional and go down this road of genuine receiving, they can be the most difficult ones to receive.
Mm-hmm. All right. So taking a couple of those,
yeah,
and being aware of the one you just mentioned, how do we now flip that so that we are adopting the practice of receiving from others authentically, you know, and being able to do that consistently, right, Rob? So it's like, you know, forming those new habitual, those pathways in the brain that causes habits to form day to day. And that's what we're after. How do we do that?
Yeah, I'm going to get really practical now because I think this is really, really helpful as well. So I think we first and foremost need to, you know, which I can always elaborate on a couple more of these barriers or hindrances that are holding us back. I think we need to understand where we struggle the most, where are the barriers coming from the most. And typically out of the seven that I identified, one of which I talked a little bit more at length, there's usually a couple that are going to rise to the top a bit more than the others. And we need to be aware of those. And then surrounding that, when someone comes to offer their help or gives us a praise or a compliment or a unique perspective or opinion, what are all our default mechanisms, Marcel? What phrases do we use to deflect? What barriers do we, and we all have language. Like, I'll give you an example. If it's receiving praise from someone close to us, right? Even though, like, I know you may not struggle with that. I may not struggle with that, but there's some people that do, right? And so it could be like a great word of encouragement. We may just say to them, hey, thanks so much. It was just so, really appreciate you saying that. And then we'll just go on to another part of the conversation. And we kind of laugh it off. And it's like, so recognizing, even journaling, what are the default phrases words we do to not let it sink in. What does that sound like? Do we laugh it off? Do we say, thanks, but I appreciate that, however? And if we can just capture those words and phrases now, we're starting to enter into that. We're starting to go down that road a little further, which is a really good thing. So I think examining, for step one, examining which of the seven, you know, or the couple of the top things that really are hindrances or barriers. Second is take a moment when they come. This comes with awareness. What are the phrases or words that we use to deflect? Okay. And then acknowledge the specific moments and times where, like, acknowledge it, where you might fall short in genuine receiving. Like, just acknowledge it. Like, have times of reflection after, maybe later that you didn't receive and you kind of go down that default mechanism of just take a deep breath, reflect, revisit that. And not, this is not a time of reflection with condemnation. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, I don't know. Like, oh, I wish I would have handled that a little different. Like, I think I was too fast, like, moving on. And all of a sudden then, when we acknowledge that reflection, we're creating space. So the next time that that opportunity comes about, it could become just a little easier, just a little easier. And so these areas of self-discipline, right? These habits are being formed to the point that it breaks the levees down and slowly but surely becomes a lifestyle. And that's really what we're after at the end of the day. So there's just a couple of practical things.
Yeah, I love it. I want to expand to the big picture, though, so that this becomes sustainable, because I'm really curious about what would you say naturally unfolds when we become really, really adept at receiving? Yeah. What's at the top of that mountain?
Because it sounds almost selfish. We're going to come full circle. For those that still might be listening, they'll be like, Rob, I'm kind of with you and Marcel, but it still sounds like the more I focus on myself, it's selfish. And I've been taught, and I just know at the core of my being, it needs to be about selfless service. Yes, it does. It really does. When we learn how to authentically, in the most purifying sense, receive. Do you know what begins to happen, Marcel, when we're committed to that process and seeing some of these barriers that we talked about being removed, seeing them lift off of us? Yeah. We start to realize that although we have everything to do with receiving, we actually begin to fade more and more away. That the more that we receive deeply, profoundly, we begin to look in the mirror and we actually begin to see less of ourselves and more of our overall sphere of influence beginning to come into clear view. That we go, this exchange of receiving leads to more selfless service, not selfish service. We begin to fade away. People actually become and go more in the forefront. So when we now are giving, you know, we receive deeply so we can give more greatly. Because we can only give what we've received. And I know leaders here, so many leaders listening, give of their time, their resources, their energy, and they do it at a great sacrifice. But I'm here to say, you matter too much to put yourself on the back burner any longer. That if you take the necessary time to receive in the way that Marcel and I are talking about, that we're sparking a conversation about, not taking, but that receiving, that it becomes less about you, not more, but more about others. And so there's, as you serve other people, as a natural result, more selflessly, you're not exerting unhealthy striving nearly as much in serving others. There's an ease. There's a liberation. It becomes more seamless. It's like, oh, this is who I am. This is who I am. Not the other way around. So for the leader that's been serving others so faithfully for so many years, there's a deeper well to be dug. In steps, the hidden power of receiving from anyone at any time.
Rob, you and your wife have been in a hard fight, and I'll let you explain what I mean, because it's a personal story, but I want to tie that into receiving and the lessons. Mainly, how did these lessons that Abdul taught you prepare you for this incredible, challenging journey that you and your wife have experienced? And you can share more about that.
You know, over the years, Karen and I both have learned and grown in these lessons from Abdul. And others have contributed along that journey as well. There has been a very deep well dug in me of receiving over the course of years. Thus, I've been able to give, you know, everything we just talked about, Marcel. Yeah. But never in 1,000 years I would have thought that I'd find myself, Karen and I would find ourselves in the season that we're in now, to where we've never had to receive more from other people than in this moment and in this time. My wife, Marcel, as you know, but those listening may not know, my wife was diagnosed about 6 months ago with a very aggressive yet treatable form of breast cancer. And she went through 4 very intense months of chemotherapy. And her final chemotherapy session, she did ring that bell. And for those that don't know the significance of ringing the bell, when you've gone through chemo, whether it be a couple sessions or many sessions, when you ring that bell on your last session, it's a time of celebration. Like, I've started here, I've gone through all the chemo, and I've come out of the other end in a sense, right? Like, I've endured, I've been courageous, I've been brave, and I'm celebrating not only by myself, with others that have helped me get there. And that's what I want to highlight, others that have helped me get there. And as she rang that bell about 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago now, she rang that bell, and I, shortly before she rang the bell, I called all the nurses that had given to her in great measure throughout the course of months, given to her, given to us. And I called them around. I might even get emotional with this, Marcel. And I said to them, thank you so much for all the countless hours and time that you spent with Karen, and the blood work and the chemotherapy and encouraging us and your support and your help and your education and all these different things. Thank you, because we've received these things. I proceed by saying, thank you so much for being the very hands of God. And then after that, Karen rang that bell. But before she rang the bell, I got it on video. I said, Karen, who would you like to personally thank and honor in ringing the bell? She said, I want to thank you, and I want to honor the ring of this bell to my father, my earthly father, who, he had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he died at age 50 and never got a chance to ring the bell. He never had a chance to ring the bell. And then she proceeded with all the nurses and great celebration, and me and her mom and everyone over there. And that she rang the bell, and she just kept ringing that bell. And there was just, everyone erupted in celebration in that time. It was absolutely indescribable, unbelievable time. My wife and I had to receive very deeply from a number of people. But I want to highlight, and I want to end with one particular encounter that my wife and I had together at one of her chemo sessions. Marcel, was one of these times where Karen and I were like looking in each other's eyes, didn't say a word. We'll be married 20 years in May. And we were looking in each other's eyes and kind of holding hands, and the tears started to flow. And they started to flow. and they started to flow. And it's so interesting. In that moment, it's like we knew exactly what each other was thinking, how we were feeling. We knew that we were about ready to embark on one of the greatest challenges we've ever faced together. At the same time, we knew that all the people that have given to us throughout the course of our entire life, family members, friends, peers, neighbors, and even the doctors and nurses up to that present time, that we'd received and we had received. And we had to receive even that much more and let certain things go to receive even deeper than we ever even thought was imaginable. And that's really, as we were glancing at each other's eyes, like everything else and everyone else faded away. And that's really what came to the forefront. Well, I'm here to say that all these lessons of receiving from Abdul and from other people in our life, some of which we discussed today, some of which certainly are in my book, have prepared us not only for Karen to ring the bell, but also she had to endure major surgery that took place a week and a half ago. And the battle's still not completely won. We don't know what lies ahead in its entirety. But one thing's for sure, Marcel, that we have totally entered into a place before God and before our family and friends and all of our caregivers to say, here we are. Our life is not our own. We're going to receive everything that you have for us holistically, medically, encouragement, prayers, education, as though it's from God himself. Mm. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, when this chapter ends in our life, I'm under the strong conviction that Karen and I, not just separately, but together as one in marriage, will be able to serve out of a place we never even knew was possible. To lift people up in a way that we've never been able to lift up before. That's the hidden power of receiving from anyone at any time. And I'm so grateful for Abdul investing in me in the way that he did at age 10, all the way into my young adult years, honestly. And I'm so looking forward to people embracing these principles as well.
Rob, I always ask this final question on my own podcast, so I'm going to bring it here and ask you to give us that one final takeaway. If you wrap up this whole conversation into that one key point, we can take us home with us and hang on to it and hopefully spread it outwardly. What would that be?
It's about presence, Marcel. It's always been about presence. Soaking in every conversation. Like you and I right now on this call. I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful in this moment, in this time, because we're not guaranteed for tomorrow. Why let the worries of next week or next year or 5 years or 10 years down the line steal the joy of the present moment? And there's something I've been awakened to, especially in the season that I'm in, is learning how to be more present. And when you're more present with the one that's before you, it's an opportunity for a genuine exchange of both the giving and receiving. And when that happens, there's no telling what's possible.
Rob, if people want to get a hold of you and learn more about you, your book, point them to a few places.
Yeah. First of all, this has been, you just need to know, man. In sharing this personal stuff, I wouldn't want it any other way with you today and answering your questions, having a conversation, sharing a real life challenge that we're facing now and how it applies to these lessons that we've learned, and wouldn't want to do it with anyone else, man. So I just so appreciate you. I think a couple different places for people to go, like just hop on Amazon and grab the book for yourself, grab the book for your team members. Do a lunch and learn with the book. I think it's going to be a wonderful kind of lunch and learn opportunity to continue the dialogue and continue the conversation with you and your team members and your overall organization. So you grab it on Amazon. It's available in ebook. It's available in paperback and hardback copies. So Amazon, just look it up. Lessons from Abdul by Rob Holman. You'll find it on there April 1st onwards and upwards. If you want more detail on the book, you can certainly go to Amazon, but you can also go to lessonsfromabdul.com, lessonsfromabdul.com. And always encourage people to go to my, you know, centralized place, robholman.com as well, Marcel.
Well, this has been fun, but most importantly, it's been real and deep and engaging the hearts, both yours and mine, and hopefully the people listening. And that's why we do what we do, Rob. And I'm so thankful that you brought me in. This whole hosting swap was a brilliant thing. And I am deeply honored that you chose me to do this, to promote your book. So thank you, brother.
You are so welcome. Trust me, there's more to come, y'all. Whether I'm on the Love and Action podcast, Marcel's coming back. Yeah, no telling of where we're going to go from here. But all I got to say is I am looking, Marcel, I'm so looking forward to when your book is released. It's been in the forefront of my mind and heart, and I'm just whetting people's appetite. Like, I am so looking forward to all of your work leading up to this point. It's almost like you're giving birth soon, you know? And so we'll keep people hanging, but trust me, we are going to shout from the rooftops all about that book on this podcast and in my overall sphere of influence for sure, because it is a book that everyone will need to read. So thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And we will see you next time on the Inside Out Leadership Podcast. Take care.
See y'all. Bye.
Well, didn't I tell you that was going to be deep? I mean, there's so many takeaways for me from that conversation with Rob. I mentioned my issue with being able to receive openly in the past had to do with my pride, basically my ego, right? Like, oh, I don't need help, or I don't need to receive your act of gratitude or your gracious gift or your offer of time spent with you so I could learn from you, maybe as a mentor. You know, I thought I had it all together. I didn't need any help. I was all that in the bag of chips. So my issue is that was my block from authentically receiving. But Rob mentioned so many other things. He talked about the paradox of closeness. How often do we stop ourselves from receiving because we may have preconceived notions or judgments about other people? You know, we assume, we have biases that stop us from reaching out to people and, you know, finding out more about them, maybe to build those relationships and tear down the walls that divide us so that we can build a trust level with someone else that may not think, act, look like us in order to openly receive from them. And it goes both ways, right? So if you are in a giving nature, that person has to be able to look at you in the same sort of open, non-judgmental manner to say, I'm open to receiving from this person, you. So lots of lessons from that conversation. And I hope that you will hear it more than once just to pick up all of the nuances of what it looks like to truly receive authentically from the heart. Well, that's all I got for today. Appreciate you coming back for our relaunch. I'm excited about the series of guests that we have lined up. World-renowned authors and leadership experts are going to come on the show. And we're going to do this for as long as you keep coming back, because we're here to serve you, serve our listener community. And that's what we're about. That's what I'm about. I want to make people, especially leaders, better. And so that's the purpose of this podcast, that we make people better by opening up their hearts to a higher form of leadership, the kind of leadership that values people and helps people to be and do their best. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Love in Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it, subscribe, and leave us a review. Until next time, don't forget, the future of leadership is love in action. Believe it, practice it, and watch your leadership and business flourish.